Well, welcome this morning. These days for me are very, very special, and I am excited that Pastor Pedro and his wife Bertha are with us. She's here on the front row. Bertha, would you stand and let everybody see you? Stand so everybody can see Bertha. Like Flora, she is an incredible cook. The food down there is just different, and it's really, really good. But we are excited to have Pedro and Bertha with us this morning. I'm going to be interviewing Pedro this morning. I want to thank Chris, who is a part of our community of faith here, Chris Harris, who's going to interpret for us today. He's needing to get his stuff going again. He is really good. I'm still jealous of the fact that my brother and him speak Spanish, and I cannot. So it's from that standpoint. But these days are exciting for me because it gives us an opportunity, instead of just Pedro speaking, and then you really don't know anything about what's going on down there other than, because they feel like they want to preach and give you a word from God. These times are special because you get to know the reality of what's going on, what's happening in their ministries in a whole different way. So that's why these times are special, and I thank you for being here. I'm going to begin with this morning our graphic that you see up here, the faithfulness of God, and then you see me in the face of that. All right, this morning we're going to talk about the faithfulness of God that's with him here at North Elevation Church and down in the Zona Maya, because Pedro and his wife are here from Tekul. But I want you to take a real close look at this picture. I know Gary's the best-looking guy in the photo, so. But anyway, I want you to look at what's behind us. You are looking at what will become the platform of the church. You can see that the jungle's growing in the church. And you see the ground that we're standing on is just dirt and rock, and I mean lots of dirt, lots of rock throughout this building, just up and down. You can't even hardly see it. At this point, they have got a roof over it, but the elements are still very much a part of the facility. They were just starting to build the walls. And I want you, the reason I'm showing this is because North Elevation Church, this is pre-COVID photo, but while we were still portable, we were sowing into them building their building when we didn't have a building. And they were needing a building. They had a house church, which I preached in, and they were beginning to build their building. We have another church that we helped, and is Pastor Roberto, which is way into the jungle of the Yucatan, way further back than Roy and Flora back in a little village, and we've been helping them. But this is what it looked like at the time pre-COVID. So if you'll show the next photo, here's the platform now. And I told you it was dirt all the way through. There wasn't a gate or anything down at the other end. I didn't put that picture on there. We had to slip through by an electrical pole to get in because nothing was done yet. The church is built between two residents with a store across the street. And their stores are totally different than our stores. So anyway, I want you to see what the church looks like today. Now, the faithfulness of God, there's a floor there, and there's walls now, and I like the curtains. We like curtains, so they followed us, curtains. This is the church today, and I share all this with you because this is the faithfulness of God, to see the completed work. We're going to talk more about that in a moment, but we were sowing into that when we didn't have a building, and this is the completed work, and we believe with all of our heart because we were sowing into the Yucatan, into two different churches, God, in our giving when we needed a building, gave us a building. And you got to understand God's mathematics here. You know, we're thinking, well, we're portable. Why should we do that? Well, we should do that. And we did, and God blessed North Elevation Church. So I want to start with Pedro to ask this question. From the house church, how long did it take you to get to this point with this church? How many years did you have to trust God for where the church is today?
Pastor, ¿cuántos años crees que pasaron entre el tiempo que estaba en la casa donde estás ahora en la iglesia?
Ha pasado, Pastor, 15 años.
About 15 years.
15 years they waited. We waited 10, so we shouldn't complain. 15 years to wait on God's faithfulness. Pedro, I want to move into some things that are a little different than what we would ask my brother Rory and what's going on in their ministry.
Quiero preguntarte unas cosas diferentes, tal vez diferente que normal, pero es importante para la gente y la iglesia aquí para escuchar y conocerte un poco más.
Tell us about the city of Tekul, the dynamics of what you're dealing with there, and also share with us what are the, I call them the stress points, but what are the things that you face that you have to literally, spiritually fight against in your city to be a, what would be called in your city, a charismatic, full gospel church preaching the truth.
Cuéntanos, si puedes, cuéntanos un poquito de la ciudad de Tekul y las cosas que tienes que enfrentar ahí, que tienes que pelear, no sé, son espirituales o algo, para tener una iglesia lleno de el Espíritu de Dios ahí. ¿Qué peleas tienes y qué ves ahí?
Buenos días.
Good morning.
Como usted ya escuchó,
like you've heard,
venimos de la zona maya.
We're here from the zone of Maya.
El área donde estamos trabajando el evangelio.
Where we're working in the ministry.
La mayoría de las personas.
Most of the people.
No crecen en la fe de Jesucristo.
Most of the people don't really believe in the faith of Jesus Christ.
Allí todavía se practica la brujería y la hechicería.
There's a lot of witchcraft and a lot of mixed things in with religions down there.
Hemos ido a orar a personas.
We've gone and prayed for people.
Poseídas por malos espíritus.
That've been possessed by bad spirits.
Pero Dios se está manifestando.
But God is manifesting.
Y está convenciendo a las personas.
And healing people and then convincing people
que Jesucristo es la respuesta para toda necesidad.
That Jesus Christ is the answer for all their needs.
Hay familias que vienen al culto.
There's families that come to our services
por una temporada.
For a short time.
Pero gracias a Dios tenemos cinco familias.
But thankfully, thank God that we have five families
que ya fundamentaron su fe en Jesucristo.
That have really built their foundation as a family in Christ, in our church.
Cuando invitamos a los jóvenes,
when we invite the young people,
un joven dijo esto, ¿es cierto que están construyendo aquí una iglesia?
One of the young people would ask, is it true that y'all are building a church?
Y me dio mucha tristeza lo que él dijo.
And gave me a lot of sadness what they said.
Cuando le respondí que es verdad que estamos construyendo una iglesia, el joven respondió, qué fastidio.
Whenever I responded and said, yes, we are building the church, the thing that made me sad is how they responded to that. And they said, that's kind of normal. How boring is that?
Me sentí muy triste cuando escuché esa respuesta.
And it made me feel really sad whenever I heard that.
Pero dije, Dios,
and I said, God,
esta construcción está dedicada a tu nombre.
This church, this construction is dedicated to you.
Y tu espíritu va a atraer las personas.
Your spirit's going to bring the people.
No ha sido nada fácil.
It's nothing easy.
Pero estamos viendo la mano de Dios.
But we're seeing the hand of God.
Moviéndose a favor de la construcción y del poblado de Tekul.
Move in the favor of the construction in the church and in the people of Tekul.
Vamos a continuar.
We're going to continue.
Aunque despacio, pero vamos a seguir.
Even if it's slow, we're going to continue.
Porque tenemos la victoria en Jesucristo.
Because we have the victory in Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Share with us some of the resistance that you faced in building the church, getting the property, and then starting the construction, raising the funds, trying to get the church built. What were some of the things that the resistance you received, either from the city or people?
Puedes compartir unas cosas que fueron muy difícil entre la construcción, no sé si era de la ciudad o de otra gente.
Cuando empezamos a predicar el evangelio en la ciudad de Ticul,
when we started preaching the gospel in Ticul,
una familia vino,
one family came,
con el documento del terreno y lo dio como ofrenda a Dios.
They came with the title of the land and was giving it like an offering.
Wow.
To God.
Wow.
Yo como padre, porque Dios me ha dado cuatro hijos.
Me, like a dad, I have four kids.
No estoy pensando que lo voy a dar de herencia a mis hijos el terreno.
I wasn't thinking as a dad as far as having a piece of land to be able to give my kids.
Sino el Espíritu de Dios puso en mi corazón una iglesia.
What God put in my heart is to have a piece of land to have a church.
No tengo el dinero para construirlo. Pero Señor, si estás dirigiéndonos a construir una iglesia, tú nos vas a dar el dinero para construirlo.
I didn't have the money, and still don't have the money, to build a church. But Lord, if you've given me this vision, it's your plan to build a church here, then you're going to bring the money and the material and things in order to get this built.
Como humanos que somos, en mi persona, no cuento con la economía para hacerlo rápido.
Being a person like I am and just a normal man or human being, I didn't have the answers or the ability to be able to just build this church.
Pero el Espíritu de Dios se ha movido por temporadas, pero todo es para la gloria de Dios.
But the Lord began to move, and in different timings, the timing of the building, he would come in different waves and things would happen. There would be like moments of blessing or moments of approval. Something would get done, but it would come in like seasons, as we would say up here.
Dios ha usado personas, familias.
God would use individuals and families.
Que han comprado block, cemento.
They would buy different material like cement or haydock block to build walls with.
Y cuando se levantó el domo,
and when we built the roof,
no teníamos baños.
We didn't have any bathrooms.
Y teníamos una pena de hacer los servicios.
We had a little bit of embarrassment to invite people to come to church and had no place to go.
Porque no había donde esconderte.
Yeah, no place to hide.
Una familia.
One family.
Nos donó el material para el techo del baño.
They donated all the material to make a roof for a place for the bathrooms.
Y en el mes de septiembre y octubre de este año.
And in September and October of last year.
Dios nos proveyó para techar el baño.
God provided everything to be able to build an area for the bathrooms.
Porque antes que se ponga el techo.
Because before we built the roof.
La construcción del baño está a la altura de la casa de la vecina.
The bathroom was about the same height or of the roof of the neighbor.
La vecina tiene su balcón.
They had their the roof or where you could walk out.
Y cuando acecha, ve al que se baña.
If you walk to the edge of the roof, you can see right down into the bathroom.
Pero no más.
But not anymore.
No más.
So if you come, don't worry. There's a place to go where they can't see you.
Celebramos la victoria que Dios nos ha dado en los baños.
And we celebrate. It's a big victory for us because now we can go somewhere where the dogs aren't on the roof watching us.
Una persona me preguntó, ¿por qué celebras los baños?
Somebody asked me, Why are you so excited about having some bathrooms?
Porque es necesario los baños en una iglesia.
Because we needed bathrooms in the church. That's why. When you don't have none and you got one, then that's pretty exciting.
Y cada paso que Dios nos ha permitido dar.
And every step that God's allowed us to take.
La fe de Dios crece en nosotros.
The faith of God increases with each step inside of each one of us.
Y estamos creyendo.
And we're believing.
Que todo lo que hace falta.
That everything we lack.
Dios lo va a suplir.
God's going to supply.
Para su gloria.
For his glory.
Amen. I want us to back up. I hope you caught what he said. Think. We live in a culture here, and most cultures are, that when you get something, you hang on to it. He was given land, and he gave it back to God. Come on, think about that for a moment. We've been down there. Gary and I have been in the heart of all of this, and the need for everybody and for them still is great. And they gave the land to God. Not just leaving for his kids. He could have made a lot, some money on the land because they had great needs. Let me tell you where the need was. I know before the land came along, I didn't know that this family had given it to him. That's new for me. That's why I like doing this. First, when birthing them, she didn't even have a kitchen. It was outside. And, I mean, they had need. How many of you ladies would want to go outside in the weather to cook and take care of your family every day? That's what she was doing. So think about this for a moment, the heart of these people to have land given to them and then give it back to God. We need to hear that. We really need to hear that. Yeah, we need to hear that. Let's back up a little bit now. We're going to come back to the building at the end. Let's back up a little bit and share with us a little bit about your calling from the standpoint, when did you know? And what was that experience like when you knew God called you to be a pastor?
Ahora puedes contar. Oh, that's
you're,
me.
You're good.
puedes contarnos cuando sabías que tenía este llamado de ser un pastor y dónde estaba y en tu vida.
A los 22 años, Dios me permitió casarme con mi esposa Berta.
When I was 22 years old, God allowed me the blessing of my wife, Bertha.
Al año después,
the year after,
Dios usó a mi mamá.
God used my mom.
Y me dice, me vas a acompañar y vamos allí a predicar en Santa Elena, Yucatán.
She said, I'm going to go with you and we're going to go to... the village of Santa Elena in Yucatan to preach the gospel.
Yo le digo a mi mamá, mamá, yo no sé predicar.
I told my mom, I don't know how to preach.
Solo sé el Padre Nuestro.
I only know our Father in Heaven.
Y ella me dijo, aunque solo eso le enseñas a las personas, pero vamos a ir.
If that's all you know, then that's all you tell them, but you're going.
Cuando prediqué la primera vez,
when I preached the first time,
le di la espalda a la gente.
¿Cómo?
Sí.
Yeah. ¿De veras?
Sí. Porque cerré mis ojos, porque tengo pena.
So when I went first time, it kind of sounds like something I would do. Maybe that's why we get along. But when I went the first time to this village to preach, I turned my back on the people and closed my eyes because I was so nervous and embarrassed of what I was going to be doing.
Pero gracias a Dios la gente no se fue.
But thankfully nobody left. They didn't leave. They stuck around.
Pero lo curioso, Christopher, es que yo no sabía si mi espalda se lo tenía yo dado a las personas, pero que tengo cerrado mis ojos.
He said, I didn't know what was going on. I didn't even really know my back was to the people because my eyes were shut so tight and I was just trying to talk.
Esa fue mi experiencia.
This was my first preaching experience.
Y el Espíritu de Dios empezó a convencerme.
And the Spirit of God began to convince me.
De que si yo le cedo mi voluntad a Él, Él me va a usar como una herramienta. para predicar su palabra.
That if I would just surrender my will to him, he would use me like a tool to preach his gospel.
Así que continuamos yendo a ese pueblo.
And we continued in that place, in that village.
Cada día.
Every day.
Mi papá tenía un vehículo de 3 toneladas, un Ford 3 toneladas, y nos íbamos diario.
We had an old 3-ton truck. My dad had an old 3-ton truck, and we went back and forth every day on this big truck.
Pasaba yo a buscar a mis hermanos, a mis sobrinos, y a los que podían acompañarnos, y nos íbamos.
So he'd go around to his brothers and his nephews and nieces and cousins, anybody he'd get loaded up in the back of the church or truck to take to the church in this other place.
Así que todos mis sobrinos crecieron en el evangelio, en ir y venir, empezaron a crecer.
And one of the funny effects of it is that all my nieces and nephews that went with us grew up hearing the gospel because they would always go with us to help do stuff.
Y desde ese tiempo, el Espíritu de Dios me ha convencido de que no importa si me digan que no tengo el llamado, porque una voz me dice, ¿quién te dijo que eres pastor? Mm-hmm. Pero yo le digo, Señor, no sé si me llamaste para pastor o no me llamaste para pastor, pero no puedo dejar este camino.
So ever since that time, the Lord has been convincing me more and more because, you know, I would hear things. I would hear a voice in my head. Who the heck called you to be a pastor? And on top of that, this is a side note, but he did have other people that he's not talking about who told him, you're doing wrong. You're not supposed to be a pastor. You don't have a calling. And he did face a lot of those things, and it's kind of probably hard to remember everything to bring up at one moment, but the Lord, through this time, has kept convincing him that he is called to do this, and he even came to a place where he said, Lord, I don't know if I've got the calling or not, because he's got so many voices coming in from all sides on him. He said, but I can't put down what you've put in front of me.
Mis cuatro hijos.
My 4 kids.
Crecieron en el evangelio.
They grew up in church.
Desde muy pequeños.
From when they were little bitty.
Los llevamos al servicio.
They all were at the services with us.
Y muchas veces teníamos que acostarlos en las bancas o en el suelo con una cobija.
A lot of times they'd be asleep at church. They put a blanket on them and just go to sleep.
Ellos casi no fugaron las cosas del mundo.
They really almost didn't know anything about the things of the world because they were just always in the church every day.
Y hoy en día me preguntan, papá, ¿por qué nos prohibiste muchas cosas?
And they, even today, or, you know, currently, they had asked, like, why were we not allowed to do so many things?
Pero ellos me dicen, pero te damos gracias.
We don't understand it all, but we thank you.
Porque nos has enseñado el camino de Dios.
Because you taught us the things of God and the ways of the Lord.
Muchas gracias, nos dicen.
Thank you very much.
Sí. I want to pause there. Some of my kids are in here. I've heard the same thing. Why can't we do what everybody else is doing? Yeah. So we've all been there. Let's move forward now. Share with us about the season of time that God brought you into relationship with my brother and Flora, and talk about that relationship and what that has done for your ministry and church. Go back to when you got connected with them and share with us a little bit about that.
Si puedes compartir con nosotros un poquito de la temporada donde encuentras hermano Rory y hermana Flora y cómo empezaron esta relación. Y cómo te ha afectado y se ha afectado como tu ministerio.
El Espíritu de Dios me conecta con hermano Rory, hermana Flora, en el poblado del Señor Quintana Roo.
So the Spirit of God brought us together in a village of Señor, which is where Flora is from, originally in Quintana Roo, which is another state next to Yucatan, which is where he lives.
Donde vivimos para llegar a donde está hermano Rory son 4 horas de carretera.
It's about 4 hours away from where they actually live, so they're not there all the time.
Los que viven en Señor hablaban mucho de hermano Rory y hermana Flora.
And everybody in Señor was talking a whole lot about Flora and her white Mayan.
Her white Mayan.
Actually, he just said brother Rory and Flora.
Las personas platican de que hermano Rory conoció a su esposa en un árbol.
So that he heard this story about how brother Rory met his wife when she was up in a tree.
Eso es lo que platican las personas.
And that's what they would talk about.
Escuché esa plática.
He heard this talk.
Digo, bueno, señor, si algún día voy a conocer a hermano Rory y hermana Flora.
So, Lord, maybe one day I can meet these people.
Y llegó el día.
And then the day came.
Estaba ella, estaban ellos en la iglesia Estrella de Belén.
And they were in the church there, Estrella de Belén, that which is our home church there in Señor.
Era la temporada de las cámaras instantáneas.
It was back in the day when you had the old wind-up cameras and the instant cameras and the Polaroids and back before all the wonderful technology we got now.
Él nos tomó una foto.
They took a picture.
Y él dijo, ¿qué clase de persona eres tú?
Said, what type of person are you?
Porque nos saludamos con una sonrisa.
It kind of confused him because, you know, it's like wondering what kind of person he was because he came up and was like really happy to meet him with a big smile on his face.
Pero yo no tenía confianza de platicar con hermano Rory.
But I wasn't really, didn't have a lot of confidence and still was kind of curious about, wasn't really sure to be able to talk to him really well.
Pero vi que su corazón es un corazón muy, muy, muy sensitivo a la guianza del Espíritu.
But he could see and feel that his heart was a heart that was really sensitive towards the things of God.
Y hubo una conexión.
And there was a connection.
Y la amistad continuó.
And the friendship continued.
Y un día él me dijo, cuando quieras descansar, las puertas de mi casa, o mi casa es tu casa.
And one day he told us, you know, if you ever need to get away, take a few days rest or something, he said, the doors of our house are open to you. And my house is your house.
Y eso me golpeó fuerte mi espíritu.
And this one, this hit me really hard, like a punch in the gut in the spirit.
Porque le digo, Dios, ¿yo qué soy para que yo pueda ir en casa de tu hijo Rory?
It's like, because he said, God, who am I that I would be invited to go and just hang out in this guy's house?
Pero gracias por la invitación que él está haciendo.
But thank you for the invitation and for what's happening here.
Y así fue como empezamos a tener una relación de persona a persona en las cosas de Dios.
And that's how that person-to-person relationship started. And from there, in the things of God, it just kept growing.
Porque para mí es imposible venir aquí a los Estados Unidos.
Because for me, it was impossible to be able to come up here.
Yo no... Cuando tuve una amistad con hermano Rory, no estoy pensando venir a Estados Unidos.
When I first met brother Rory, I never even thought about going to the United States.
Tampoco el hermano Rory me está diciendo, vamos a Estados Unidos. En ningún momento me forzó a venir.
And he also was never like, hey, you need to come to the States, or was trying to get me to come up here.
Sino en la conexión con el Espíritu Santo.
And it was in our connection in the Holy Spirit.
Dios fue permitiendo que llegara el tiempo para que Dios me trayera.
Through all this process and things that went on, there came a time where it became possible, and it also got me ready for that time.
No fue de la noche a la mañana, pero gracias a Dios estamos aquí.
It wasn't overnight, but looking back, you know, thank God that we are here now with you guys.
Y le agradezco a Dios por la vida de hermano Rory, hermana Flora.
And we thank God for Rory and Flora,
por seguir el llamado de Dios,
for continuing in the calling of God on their lives,
porque sabemos que no ha sido nada fácil para ellos dejar su país para que vayan a México,
Because he knows that what everything that they've done hasn't been an easy road of leaving Rory's home country and going down there, and now Flora doing the same and giving them themselves to follow after the calling God has on their life.
Porque si no es a través de hermano Rory y hermana Flora,
because if it wasn't for them,
yo no hubiera conocido al pastor.
If it wasn't for the relationship I had with Rory and Flora and what they were faithful in doing, pastor, then Corey, I would have never met Pastor Corey.
Y a cada uno de ustedes.
And I wouldn't be sitting here with all y'all.
Ahora entiendo que estamos en el plan de Dios.
And I know now that this was all, everything that's happened has been part of the plan of God.
Muchas gracias.
Thank you.
I want to say one thing, go back to when he turned his back to everybody. He's anything but bashful now. He is not bashful at all. And nothing. Also, all of you that have just heard the word house several times, get your house out of your mind. When he says house, he's talking about Roy and Flora live in a palapa, a big palapa. Yes, they have guano for roof, and we're there, and Roy and Flora sweep the floor 4 or 5 times a day because stuff is falling out of the guano, because stuff lives up there. So understand what the house, when he says house.
He's not lying.
It's house, okay? That's the house. So when you get home today, kiss the floor, thank God. You got a place like you've got, even if it's an apartment, okay? From that part
Flora,
of it.
Flora knocked snakes out of her roof one time. One fell outside and one fell inside. True story.
Who all wants to go with me? Rochelle's never going. I want. Would y'all put the picture back up of the church from the back of the church? Again. Pedro, quickly, because I want to give you some time to do something here in just a moment. Share with us what your needs are to, because I can see all the way through the top through there. I can see the outside, so the elements are still a part of the building. Would you share with us what you need to do to finish the building, to complete it to what God has told you to do?
Bueno, esa foto se ve muy bien y ha avanzado mucho, ¿no? Pero si puedes contarnos las necesidades que tienes para cumplir la iglesia hasta el punto de donde tienes la visión de Dios.
La construcción nos hace falta las paredes. Solamente tenemos una pared y nos falta las dos paredes más y el frente, porque las sillas que ustedes ven allá, después del culto, las escoramos y lo encadenamos porque hay personas que entran y se llevan las cosas.
So they don't have all the walls yet, and the curtains are a little deceitful, but it does give them some cover, you know. But there are walls on the sides, but they're the neighbor's walls, so they're not the actual structural walls of the church. So we need to get that done, and then also the front, a front entrance, which would be like, you know, the walls and also a gate to close it off, because they have to kind of makeshift some things and lock it up real good because people will come in and steal stuff in the church. I mean, we had that during construction. The block and cement and stuff would wander off in the nighttime. So that's kind of the main thing that we're looking to, is be able to finish closing that in.
So that's the main thing of what he's needing right now.
Es la cosa más importante ahorita para cerrar
el domo, sí.
Yeah.
Sí.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. I asked that question because we're going to take up a special offering for them here at the end of the service, so you can begin to let the Lord speak to you. In the time we have left, about 10 minutes or so, just about, Chris, I'd like for him to share what's on his heart that the Lord is stirring and speaking to him, that he feels compelled to speak to North Elevation Church.
Ya tenemos más o menos 10 minutos más para platicar. Y lo que quiere hermano Corey es para dar este tiempo a ti para compartir lo que está dentro de tu corazón, tu espíritu, para compartir con esa gente aquí. Sí tienes.
Tuve la oportunidad de platicar con el pastor Corey, y él me hizo una pregunta.
I had a chance to talk with Pastor Corey, and he asked me a question.
La pregunta que me hizo fue, ¿por qué construyes una iglesia?
The question he asked me was, why build a church?
En un momento no sabía qué responder.
And kind of caught me off guard. I didn't really, in the moment, didn't know what to say.
Pero el Espíritu de Dios me enseñó cómo Jesús enseñó a 12 discípulos.
But the Spirit of God taught me like Jesus would teach or tell his disciples.
Y Dios me dio la respuesta para la pregunta.
And he gave me the answer for the question.
Para ser discípulos, estamos construyendo una iglesia, le respondí.
And the answer to the question was, to make disciples is the reason we're building the church.
Así que cada uno de los que vienen a esta iglesia,
just like everyone here who's coming to this church,
es lo que el Pastor Cody y todos los pastores de esa iglesia están haciendo, el liderazgo. Ellos están enseñándonos a ser discípulos.
Just like Pastor Corey and the pastor team here and everybody that's working together here is to teach everyone to be and make disciples.
Porque ellos están pasando la autoridad de Dios que está en ellos a las generaciones.
Because they are passing on the authority that God has given them to the next generation.
Porque ustedes son importantes para Dios.
Because you are all very important to God.
Ninguna persona de los que están en esta iglesia,
not one person who's here,
ninguno de ustedes son menospreciados por Dios. Dios les ama.
None of you have a lack of value. None of you are not important. There's not one person here who is either just here or of a lesser value than anyone else in here. Every one of you is here because God wants you, not just in this church, but in his kingdom as his child. Each individual, not just as a collective, but an individual.
Y no haga coraje si los pastores le llama la atención. No hagas coraje, no te molestes.
Yeah. So, like, if they don't get upset with the pastor whenever he's trying to teach you something that maybe rub you the wrong way a little bit or, you know, feel a little uncomfortable.
Sino agradece a Dios porque tienes padres espirituales.
But give thanks to God because you have a spiritual type parents who are trying to share with you the things of God.
Porque ellos quieren que termines la carrera.
Because they want you to finish your race or your path and in victory to accomplish what you have or to get free, the thing that you're looking at, the life that you're living, they want you to walk in that victoriously.
Porque si ellos sacan su tiempo para darnos un buen consejo, es porque nos aman.
If they take their time to study and to preach or to give you good counsel, it's because they love you. Not because they're getting rich or nothing like that, but they care about each one of you.
Y juntos podemos seguir ganando almas para el reino de Jesucristo.
And together we can go forward winning souls for the kingdom of God.
Así que les animamos.
And I want to encourage you in those things.
Persevere.
Persevere.
Siga adelante.
Keep going forward.
Porque el que está con cada uno de nosotros es mayor que el que está en este mundo.
Because the Spirit of God that is in each one of us is greater than he who is in the earth. Amen.
Hay problemas, hay circunstancias.
There's always circumstances and there's always problems.
Pero Jesús no se dejó vencer por las circunstancias y los problemas.
But he will not leave us. He will not leave us in these circumstances or in these problems.
La corona que le pusieron no lo detuvo.
The crown that he put on our head.
Los clavos no lo detuvieron.
Yeah, the crown that was put on Jesus' head.
Los clavos de sus pies y sus manos no lo detuvieron.
The nails and the scars on Jesus.
La muerte no lo detuvo.
Didn't hold him down. And the death that he suffered for us didn't keep him down.
Porque él tenía una inspiración. Se inspiraba
en
nosotros.
Jesus is our inspiration.
Cada uno de nosotros, Él nos estaba mirando.
He's watching each one of us.
Él decía, voy a terminar la carrera porque te estoy viendo. Te estoy viendo, tú eres mi fuerza. Tú eres el motivo por el cual voy a llegar al Golgotha.
He saw each one of us, and we were his inspiration for finishing his race, for walking up Golgotha, for going to the cross, beating death in the grave and rising again, because he saw us. We are his prize.
Así que, ciudadanos de Estados Unidos, sigan adelante.
So, citizens of the United States,
sigan de frente.
Keep going forward.
No hay reversa.
Don't go back.
Vamos adelante.
Go forward.
Porque el Rey de Reyes va adelante de nosotros.
Because the King of Kings is going before us.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We want to thank you, Pedro, for allowing us to interview you today. Next year, you're going to preach. So that means Chris has really got to get going here. And so you'll be preaching for us next year when you come in. But I wanted everybody to get to know you and Bertha and know, you know, what y'all have been through, what's been going on, and the reality. I want y'all to know, by trade, he's a furniture maker. I mean, like, Jesus furniture maker.
Yeah.
Not like you're experiencing here. He don't have all the stuff. He does it all by hand. And what he builds, Gary and I have looked at it, we're kind of like, wish we could load this stuff up and bring it back. It is amazing stuff. You know, I'm talking about stuff that's going to outlast you. That's what he builds. So he reminds me a great deal of that reality of the man who works with his hands, builds beautiful stuff, who's doing beautiful things for the kingdom of God. If you want to share that with him.
Yeah. Pastor, gracias para permitirnos a tomar este tiempo para preguntarte cosas y hacer este, how do you say interview? Entrevista contigo. Y si Dios permite, el próximo año que viene te da la oportunidad para predicar. Entonces, yo tengo que practicar mucho mi español para estar bien. Y vamos a ver qué pasó. Pero y también él estaba explicando que eres un carpintero,
sí,
y que trabajas con las manos y como Jesucristo.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Thank you all for your patience so he could share that with him. We want to thank you, Pedro, for being here. Chris, thank you for interpreting for us today. And Pastor Colin's going to come up now.